come home to a broken wall.
Now to absorb some local color through the magic of AM radio.
The book of Revelations tells us to watch for the seven signs of evil.
Sign of evil number 4.
We're continuing our sign of evil countdown. Here's Vanessa Williams.
You're listening to WGXC Acra, Hudson, Catskill, 90.7 FM.
The views expressed by on-air volunteer hosts do not reflect the views of Wave Farm or WGXC. WGXC is nonpartisan and does not endorse or support political candidates. To participate in WGXC's on-air dialogue, call 518-622-2598 to either call in live to the studio or record a 3-minute message for broadcast expressing your point of view, or send an email to info@wgxc.org.
Well, just as electrical grounding is important for safe radio transmission, WGXC's Catskill studio has become a grounding place for our station. And with your help, we now have the opportunity to expand our space for even more community programming, workshops, and in-studio performances. And your donation to Wave Farm's WGXC Radio for Open Ears contributes to the expansion of community radio on air, online, and yes, on Main Street. Go to WGXC.org/donate now to make your contribution. We thank you so much for your support.
Wave Farm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Anonymous of Athens, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Nothing comes out of the black snow. Nothing comes to you through Channel Zero. Coming to you unalive. Coming to you unalive. Coming to you unrecorded. That's what we foresee. A wave of black snow.
That's what we foresee.
An impending
a wave of black snow.
Collective blindness.
An impending absolute
and from among the
tatters
of electromagnetic.
And from among the tatters of electromagnetic shadow,
seething out of the lost signal, pour the chaotic myriads to return the earth to its primordial state. Nothing comes out of the black snow.
Nothing comes out of the black snow. Nothing comes to you through Channel Zero. Gregory Whitehead here in the Catskill studio for a special edition of Audio Buffet, 2 days before the winter solstice, beginning with that fragment from a radio art work in progress, composed and voiced by Fabiana Jibim. Born into the Guarani Ka'iowah indigenous nation, often referred to as the Gaza of Latin America, Fabiana is a performance artist, editor, flame keeper, radio alchemist, philosopher of everything nocturnal, and the curator of imaginary archives that explore and experiment with the concept of formless formation. Fabiana is also the last of Wave Farm's Radio Art Fellows for the year 2025, during which she has been writing and sounding in search of interwoven spaces, in her own words, where the dead, the forgotten, and the unrecorded return, half-digested, half-reborn, through resonant vibrations that exceed comprehension. Fabiana, welcome to the Audio Buffet. Sounds like your fellowship has been very fruitful, both in the writing and in the sounding.
Hi, Gregory. Hi, Jay. Hi, Meredith.
Yay.
It's amazing to be here with you all, and it's amazing to be here with everyone that is listening as well. We are all co-composers of everything that I've done, and I love how I sound through you. Thank you so much for this introduction. I hope I live up to your words.
And also with us, we have a second distinguished guest, Jay Needham, artist, writer, musician, educator, and editor of Resonance, the Journal of Sound and Culture, published by the University of California Press. He is also a Wavefarm Radio Art Fellowship mentor and has been working with Fabiana in dialogue about her essay, Night as a Method, Nocturnal Politics and Sonic Fugitivity. Lots to discuss. Over to you, Jay. What do you hear in the black snow?
Well, good afternoon and also good evening as we listen, share, and sound together. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you for the invitation. I hear imaginings, rustlings, troubles, and resolutions. In so much of this work, just a moment to share about Fabiana's work as a scholar and as an artist and activist, that admixture of intent fascinates me. And I would love to talk about some of the sounds we just heard, because I have curious ears. I can't help it. And I was sort of born that way. And I also would love to maybe loop in some of the things that Fabiana's been writing about and researching so deeply during the residency. One of the things I love, Fabiana, is this idea of the electromagnetic shadow. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. First of all, I really want to thank Wavefarm for having me. As I've been saying to Gregory and Jay, this is the most sonic freedom I've ever had, and it's amazing to do this with you all. Well, to say a little bit about the black snow, it was such a thrill to listen to my own voice through radio talking about the black snow. And for those who recognize this excerpt, is an excerpt from CCRU, right? CCRU is such a trickster in my story and in my mind. And the black snow specifically is such an interesting passage for me, because we were talking earlier today about the fact that in Mumbai, where I was born, in the reservation, we have an yearly moment in which there is the fire on the forest, right? It's this big incendio in the forest to control the actual illegal forest fires that happen in that region. And my first contact with the black snow was as a kid seeing the ashes on the forest. And this really marked me way before I ever read Black Snow for the first time or read CCRU or had any idea about what it would be in my life. But seeing the ashes falling from the sky and in a response to the fire was my first connection to the black snow. And then CCRU came to my life so many years later, and this passage about the black snow, it's right after another passage from CCIU called From Subversion to Submersion. And I think this gives a tone to what we're going to talk here. Mm-hmm. And From Subversion to Submersion says a lot about this group called Hypersea. And in CCIU's imaginary, Hypersea is this clandestine network. And dedicated to some sort of aquatic return to what they say, liquidation of Babylon. And what you're saying, Jay, about the, I forgot the specifically.
Yeah, the electromagnetic shadow was one of the things that, that stuck out in that passage. But
yeah.
You could also get to this returning the earth to the sub-primordial state.
Yes. Yes, it has. Both have everything to do with each other, right? Because what it teaches us, the Hyper Sea teaches us, and this whole idea of the Black Snow, is this abandonment of all traditional methods and all traditional goals, right? It's a storm, it's a swamp. And I really like this idea to dissolve all conventional senses of reality that this implies. So this is a threat. This is a threat that the Black Snow is doing for against the Federation as a science fiction. That's the whole CCRU theme. And I love this idea that the everything you see and everything you hear might be a mirage. And this is a strong material that Black Snow comes and brings us. And just another point of convergence is that there was in the Siberian Times reports in Russia, right, in this city called, I'm sorry if I'm saying this very wrong with my heavy Brazilian accent, but it's Prokopievsky, I believe, mm-hmm. the name of the city, that reported that black snow falling from the sky, right, and covering the landscapes, and the locals were calling it a black winter.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this image that happened very close in the 90s, very close to the years I saw for the first time the ashes falling from the sky in my reservation. And I love this connection, it's counter geographic connection of the black snow. So there were many things to be said about this in Russia, many explanations on that black snow. And when I grew up and learned about CCRU and learned about Hyper Sea, I was thinking maybe they didn't even thought that it might be Hyper Sea and Hyper Sea action. You know, it's literally the disassembly of the science fiction as it is. And even Hyper Sea mentions this as a neuronic trigger.
Fantastic. So Fabiana, let's cue up another fragment from the Deja Voodoo archive. This one, bringing up the question of Afrofuturism.
I feel like Afrofuturism as a term is helpful and has been useful, but it is at this point already dated. Came out and we had this like renaissance of Afrofuturism around 2018, like already we had moved past Afrofuturism into something else. And I think that Afrofuturism as a term is oftentimes used just to label like weird black art, you know? And it's like anybody that uses electronics, anybody that's like thinking about like technology in their work is an Afrofuturist. And I think that like the way that I'm starting to kind of conceptualize it is like Afrofuturism is an era within black technoculture and black science fiction, specifically around like audio, and it's like a dimension, right? The same way that we think about like space and time as different dimensions, it's like Afrofuturism like starts with like the first dimension of there being some sort of like singularity or connection between art and spirituality within African traditional religions, and the way that like you don't separate out and say, oh, we're gonna put this mask on the wall. The mask is a part of my process and my practice for being alive and being a person. Then we have like sound as a means of transmitting ideas and transmitting that kind of like spirituality across distances.
Jay, over to you.
Such satisfying and just fascinating collage elements occurring in that segment, spanning distances, tossing spirituality across geographies and atmospheres. Give us a little detail about this selection that we've just heard.
Yeah, you've heard the voices of Kamari Carter and Gladstone Deluxe from this interview that we had a few months ago in New York. My recent experiments and my recent research have been talking a lot about their joint bioformulation, that is CODES. CODES is their performance duo that they've been working together. I love this little part in which Gladstone says, I'm not an Afrofuturist, stop calling me an Afrofuturist, with this very annoyed tone. I love it. For me, I could put this track, this little piece, on every single minute of this radio show. But we were talking back then and during this interview about this position of some sort of anti-Afrofuturism. In order to insist that Black temporalities, indigenous temporalities, are not reductible to futurity, but they include aftermaths and returns and loops and especially residues, right, of temporal excess.
And to weave in the written research you do as well, you discuss these ideas around sonic cartographies, right? Frequencies, instruments, making variations on instruments and sounds themselves, and also the discussions of a Black technical object. And tell us a little bit more about the reinvention of instrumentation in some of this work.
This has a lot to do with fugitivity. The Black technical object has a lot to do with this artist being able to pirate and be co-conspirators, you know, of this new method. And it is actual nocturnal politics in action, being not fully visible and just creating conditions for this fugitivity, right? So what I hear through them is this black technical object being a way of thinking about tools and reprogramming the tools and reprogramming biologically, you know, radios and scanners and synthesizers and these tools built for control and surveillance and efficiency, but actually turning into and being looped to crack open a bridge on cyber fiction and just interfering, it stutters, you know, it produces fog and authority loses coherence through this.
Have you found that when you listen to this duo's work, that they're kind of playing or literally remixing or reinventing the idea of a duo, which has, you know, a kind of a classical standing, But what are they doing different, do you think?
Yeah, I see that their object is becoming fugitive, and it stops serves power, starts serving relation and speculation and refusal. I see the difference through them, but also not the difference, but the dissonance that is the most important aspect, you know, for me of their work. They're illuminating in this dark light, what I call nocturnal politics. So they're forging, they're using the night and being the night to forge spaces of resistance and alternative relationalities, you know, that really defy surveillance and computational paradigms. I love that they strategically use sound, especially in this manipulation of police scanner frequencies that you heard a little bit under the voices of Kamari specifically. But they also their action is recombining sonic materials, and it exemplifies how auditory experience can become this vector of ungovernable knowledge.
Okay.
Well, maybe related to a different way of improvising too.
Yeah, let's.
Yeah.
With that in mind, let's cue up another fragment from the Deja Voodoo archive. This one that I think will get in a little bit more deeply to the nature of the collaboration, provisionally titled Alien Together.
Is that there's no like one part of our collaboration together that's actually alien to me. But it's the coming together of the things that's alien.
Jay, over to you again.
Such a fascinating comment about the archive. Really profound about the nature of collaboration, reappropriation. But I'm really fascinated about how the perhaps the changing state of the archive through your work with Deja Voodoo. Tell us a little bit more about the your position there with how you're thinking about archiving materials and how it works with collaboration.
It is intrinsically a collaboration. I thank so much Gregory for the introduction, but I barely can talk about my own work, saying that it's an art piece. I usually just say that I'm a pirate and a medium of something else. And that's why I always call people that are working with me or they're, you know, joining forces as co-conspirators of something, because it's necessarily a refusal to be a single being, to quote Fred Moulton, but more so in a collective attunement, you know, of something else. And I think this is what builds and embodies this method. You know, this is what bodies nocturnal politics. It may sound as like romantic darkness, but it's I'm talking about like a condition, a praxis of multiple relationalities of several beings, you know, and we just become the cyborg who repurposes, you know, oppressive tools for self-making and resistance and just refusing normative visibility, you know, and embracing the obstruction.
And I think you even have a really lovely term for it, which you're talking about, fugitive temporalities.
Yeah, fugitive temporalities is my favorite part of it all, I think. Everything became with some sort of oral resistance to temporality. And so this also connects with our first point, which was talking about this anti-Afrofuturism thing. Because this refusal temporalities, they linger to something unresolved, you know. Their rejection of the demand of some narrative complexion, you know, completion, sorry. And they demand to remain in the break and in the echoes and the aftermath. So it stays in this ongoingness and refusal to settle into closure.
There's an aspect here of disruption throughout, but it's not a kind of a aggressive toppling down. It's actually quite organic, and it needs a little needs more words for sound sometimes, right? Because we typically are thinking of a word like disruption from a news cycle, rather than from grassroots or from a song cycle. So I'm wondering, tell us a little bit more about what it means to disrupt the creation and collaboration or kind of co-conspiratorial compositional mode that you've gone into with the creation and exhibition of this work.
Yeah, as I said yesterday on our conversation briefly about the fact that the night doesn't require that we ceremonialize it. It just, you don't have a choice. It's a disruption, fluid disruption by excellence. So these nocturnal times, they are already at work, right? So they're circulating beneath what we understand as a broken timeline, right? And they're elusive. And while they're disrupting visibility and disrupting capture, they're also producing like a radical detachment, you know, from foundational principles. And this is what allows, you know, nocturnal politics to generate these conditions, you know, for its own scape. And that's what I see when I hear quotes and when I hear Sanjiro, I hear this this resistance to fixed forms, you know. And this comes out as formless formation, as we were talking.
Excellent. Fabiana and Jay, let's cue up another fragment here from the archive. And it occurs to me that some acts of piracy are also acts of poetry, and that piracy and poetry have a very deep connection that we might explore with reference to this next montage, really, that I think will bring us deeper into the night.
Ucrania.
We see them all the time. So what? We see them. And we don't care until the final time that we'll be ready to hit them. And we know we are going to hit them very hard.
And you think that a Kalashnikov, a few grenades, and your determination is enough to overcome the obstacles, the Russian equipment, the tanks, the artillery?
Yes, it's the will of the man that fights such kind of wars. It's not really the sophistication of the weapons.
And Jay, once more, what are you hearing?
The signalscape is alive and well, where maybe one pair of ears might hear injury or static. This actually sounds like a song. It's a little bit more like a heartbeat. So I'm giving rationality and consonance to static here, to sort of empower it. And that's what I'm hearing.
Fabiana?
I love this track because this part of our conversation, when we were having this conversation on the interview, oh, by the way, this voice that you're hearing in the sound piece is Celeste Orua. And I love that Celeste had actually a counterpoint to my point. And she was so generous in her counterpoint. And I added this track to my own radio that went wrong, right? Because this static that you hear is a transmitter that I've built that went wrong. And Celeste puts in her commentary, she says, radio is not even 100 years old. There's so many possibilities of what it can be. And I love that we encounter each other in this perspective and in this perception, because this made, this put a formless form to what I was trying to address in our conversation. She helped me through this to rethink, you know, this formless formation, and not to emphasize, you know, a lack of form, but to unleash it, you know, from any deterministic structure, even the deterministic structures that I may have had entered that conversation with. And this is some sort of exorcism, you know, for me. And I love that we were able to attend the farm's momentum and, you know, just meeting in the in-between, in the overlaps across this pulse and the dissipations of our communications and composing together, you know, just these infinite parts.
And there's something else, too, about that really needs to come out about collage, because, you know, there's such a rich history, you know, of visual and sonic musical collage. But, you know, what I hear here is has some subtle differences here when I'm becoming more aware of the intentionalities of the collaboration, the depth of the history that the artists are trying to recall or excite or critique. Mm-hmm. The more I listen, the deeper it gets. And so this form of collage sounds and appears very different to me. And I'm curious to know how you hear it.
Yeah, deja vu is a sound collage. If there is anything it is, it is this. And I feel like all of my work leans heavily into an undercommon way of collage. And this gives body to the collective attunement that I was talking about. It is just, I love the perspective of collage making because collage has deep relations to resonance. It has deep relations to resonati, like to sound again, you know. And I love that resonance and collage in this encounter, they reverberate across so many fields, you know, mathematics and music and noise and life practice and everything, astronomy, sociology, anyway. And I love this, the fact that this is unbound, you know. Collage making is a way of art making that is unbound to any, you know, form and to any ways that it's not in love with fissure and fracture and incongruity, you know.
Yes, I think with collage, I think of collision, but I also think of collusion. I think of contusion, but I also think of just a deeper connection. You know, just something that by its connection is revealing some other aspect of itself, of those elements. And for me, that's also the essence of poetry. So that your poetics of making this work seems inherently collisionary, and yet, you know, in the end, it's the meanings that are created by that connection, right? So let's just call up yet another fragment from the Deja Voodoo archive. This one provisionally titled Radio Tentacle.
Radio, again, is a medium that, in one sense, feels so mediumless because the sound just kind of appears from thin air. You know, you are divorced in physical space from the body or the machinery that is making the sound that you're hearing. But I think for that reason, that's another way, it's another realm in which it's really important to try to find the form in all those invisible scaffoldings and, you know, tentacles. But also, again, I think radio, you know, radio's only been around for 100 years. And so, like, we're only just at the beginning of what it can be.
Thank you. grazing land and a lot of land that can be used for farming, but most of that is usually taken and is leased out to white men.
Your tentacle. Fabiana, let's just go right to you. And talk about radio space itself and the possibilities within radio space and how much the Deja Voodoo archive as a space seems to so strongly resonate with radio space.
Yeah, I'm very interested on imaginary cartographies, and I think the marriage of radio art and Deja Voodoo is right there. So this broken nonlinear fugitive time is also a broken nonlinear cartography, right? I am interested on how sound creates other cartographies, other temporalities that overlap and glitch and refuse to settle. There is a jazz logic in all of this also, of improvisation and repetition with difference and refusal of closure. This whole fugitive methodologies, you know, that live on imaginary cartographies and imaginary temporalities. And it's a break. Mentioning Moten again, but it's a break, and it's a break that it's not supposed to be sutured, right? But it is a generative disruption, and that's it. It's a critique of system building, and there is a line that I really love from Formulas Formation, the book from Hipatia Volumis and Sandra Ruiz, that they say, making what you say sound like something. And I think Deja Voodoo is this. It's how it sounds like. It's how imaginary cartographies may sound like and how imaginary temporalities may sound like.
So really also the reimagining and replaying sharing of the archive also is directly related to critiques and research and thoughts you've given towards territorial control, or really against territorial control. So, as a scholar, like, you know, bring us back to Brazil, maybe for a moment on the ground. Is there a way to connect some of this work to the lived experience and really the liveness of your work, which is really what is a captivating part of how you do your research and practice? Is that you study this as a lived work?
Yeah, I think that's part of, you know, growing up in this militarized borderlands and, you know, just taking body in just political resistance in different spaces in the world. And, you know, this doesn't happen in daylight. I think that's a very consistent thing throughout resistance systems and resistant methods all over the world. I love that they happen through whispers and, you know, coded communication and night gatherings and radio and songs and rumors, you know. And this all is resurrected by these ways of moving together, you know, without being mapped. So, for example, talking about indigenous territories, the night isn't an absence, you know, in indigenous territories, but it's a way the forest and the land speaks differently. And it's how people reorganize, you know, time movement and relation to avoid capture. And that's why nocturnal politics isn't abstract, but it's a lived being by itself. It's a lived being that you can only attune to. And it's also how people learn to remain in motion, you know, when visibility becomes dangerous. And
So this notion of bodies in motion and bodies of bodies of sound, bodies of ideas, bodies of philosophy, bodies of the night moving together brings us to this next fragment from the archive, provisionally titled River, Waves, and Ways.
A river is studio agitation through one window, aloft in rock bottom, soft support and rumble, a room, a cell, a light in the way the walls walk off in jeweled pat and tile. A pattern on the river floor, all absolute and indiscernible unless you walk it. In the river, as the river, as all this rotary soar of the damned and held, sous vide in second linearity, parading in this tubid lining out of the basic line all in against itself in black and blue switchback. And Beatrice smiling, seeing all our little differences together in the venereal collection area's serial eddying of how we taste and feel inseparably. There's just so many ways to keep going along the way. The miraculous influence is deltaed in Floridian branch or mangrove double silt, Coahoma County moaning or swung Oklahoming, a gap band, or a gap in nature kind of sounding, drowning, burning, this continually Caribbean being on fire of the river. From river to river on canal, and torn to another bleeding place we form, and on the nappy shift, our Delaware gap band, sending geography through a sycophantic horn chart of the natural city in and out of its broken window. Cadence still cruising mobile studio, unnamed and making ways is what it sounds like. Lining, tiling, moaning, smiling, drowning, bleeding, burning, seeing, sending, sounding just like Joseph Daly, Thurman Barker, David Holland, Sam Rivers.
Oh my. Well, I love Sam Rivers and Dave Holland, and I just love that. I love that fragment from the archive. That's from a performance point of view, that's really happening there. Everything's happening. Everything's flowing together. Jay, I see you nodding.
Yeah, this is the spaces of the nocturne.
Yeah,
right. Something that's that right. Fabiana writes about, with really great intent and interest. Powerful.
Yeah, that's Fred Moulton again reading his poem. I love this poem and I love the way it ends. Mm-hmm. I love that it ends with an eternal inconclusion. He just opens in making waves and making ways. It's what it sounds like. This last line is just apotheotic. I just love it so much. And I learn and I make knowledge so much about from this last line regarding this insistence, you know, in opacity and the refusal of the Enlightenment and the Enlightenment demand, you know, from for transparency and this universal legibility, you know. It is what cannot be fully translated and cannot be fully owned, you know. So this passage is great example of nocturnal temporality and how it's anti-productive and it resists, you know, accumulation and rejects historical closure, and it's cyclical and recursive and unruly, and, you know, it's just not revolutionary in the daylight sense of progress, you know, and triumph. But it just refuses to resolve, and it's just make waves.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Well, the river is unruly. I've been on many rivers, and I've been humbled by the unruliness of the river. So, this is, to me, it's like a celebration of that, of jumping, really, jumping out of the bounds, you know, jumping out of the bounds. And the river is going to go where it needs to go. And those who try to redirect it are usually humbled by the power of the river. So that's, thank you for that, Fabiana. And thank you for making that unruliness so much a part of the aesthetic of the Deja Voodoo archive. Now, I want to resist the tyranny of time, but I'm keeping in my eye, unfortunately, on the passage of time. And I really want to raise this, the issue that is embodied in the next fragment from the archive, provisionally titled Skin Codes.
But I feel like the transformative nature of what I think that we're doing is it's sous-surveillance. So it's surveying the surveyor. And I find that to be a more interesting and, kind of inherently political space to kind of work within, because I think that it's a necessary concept to conceptualize. If the markers of my attire, my skin color, and my movements will be the deciding and definitive factor between life and death, I need to be aware of ways in which those things are happening around me. I need to be aware of the terminology that's being used. I need to be aware of the access that people may have to me. I need to be aware of who's watching, who's not, signals in which they are indicating that they are. I think all of these things are important, and so I make an effort in my own personal life to be one step ahead of that, and you know, if there's a future that exists where I have children, that same information and all of these same things and tactics would be, you know, espoused to them. And so in the work that I'm doing, I'm trying to, in a more subtle and somewhat disruptive way, make that same claim and make that same information as public as I feel it needs to be, because I currently, I would argue that it's not.
Deja Voodoo Radio Archive, and that's a fragment that raises the question of surviving the night, the relationship between nocturnality and survival, and reading the codes that allow one to get through the night.
Yeah, that's Kamari Carter right there. He has so many bars in this sound piece. It was very hard to, you know, choose from everything that we spoke about. But this specific one, it feels like a counterstrike and, you know, just resignifying bundle calls for like a radical connectivity across difference and, you know, just warring against chronological fascist orders. And surviving the night also means that the night leaves traces in the light. After a party in the street, you see the small bits of cigarettes. You see the broken glasses. It's just the fragments of something that the light could never capture. And I love this instability, and this instability is doing political work, you know. It trains our ears to stay alert and to listen in a relational way, you know, to notice what is slipping away. And so the sound of the night doesn't give itself to you very easily. So you have to stay with it, you know, stay tuned with it. And I like that you mentioned that this, you named this part skin codes. I didn't even think about it. And it's a very good example of co-conspiration, you know? So it's just the resonance of it is a mutual aid, you know? It's an antifascist resonance. And it's the condition of possibility and for political organizing across sound and across difference, and not for like a pragmatic utopia, but like an unruly revolt through sound. And I feel like that's what Codes is doing, and I feel like that's what we are doing in this formless formation, and we're bound to be formless. And you know, opening a Pandora box of paradoxes, and
bound to be boundless. Jay, a few last thoughts here, and then we're going to drift off into the night, I'm afraid.
Into our remixed nocturnality.
Exactly.
A fascinating hour, full of such depth. Again, to recall Fabiana's really original and just in-depth ideas about the blend of scholarship, traditional research, undoing research, new revolutionary sound tactics and collaborations, you know, new geospatial temporalities. We've covered so many fascinating ideas about the Deja Voodoo Archive, and I feel like we're only just in the front of the bins on this one.
Fantastic. And I just want to mention that the finished radio artwork that Fabiana has made during, or is still in the process of making, I should say, during her fellowship, will air in its entirety on Saturday, January 17th at 3 p.m. right here on WGXC Radio for Open Ears. And it's just been so delightful, Fabiana, having you here together on air, together with you, Jay. I think the three of us are going to work together again. I just have that strong feeling. But this has really been an extraordinary journey. And to end it, we're going to try something. We'll see how it works. Fabiana, we have the Sonjiro lyrics that apparently were not used in a song, but we also have a sample from Sonjiro. We're going to try to have you voice over that sample live to air. Are you more or less ready? Does this make sense?
Let's get it.
And Jay is going to have to simultaneously play that sample.
Across the meridians and into the nocturne.
Into the night, into the night, into the night.
Some seek refuge in the forest. Some seek refuge in their dreams. Some seek refuge inside a fortress, ego guarded by productive means. But this is not the refuge we seek. This is not the refuge we seek. Not the refuge we seek. Triple Gem, Trim Jesus, Holy Trinity of Deliverance, Buddha Yamye, Pastafari Jahwe, Christ crossed prophets, on the Tao the dead way. Teacher seeking, seeker preaching, preacher teaching eightfold paths, 10 commandments, 10,000 names for one big tea truth, or at least that's what they say. In all the unburdened books, the reality breeding all the virgin youths. The one that talks of fairness, what's felt, understood with no proof. Pure ignorance, sacrificed wealth, never to know stew from soup. But who knows what's new with no good news? Some seek refuge in the rhythm, some seek refuge in a beat. Some seek refuge in the schism between the tower and the street. Through this may only resemble the perfect refuge we seek. Who are we to deny any refugee when all refugee we find bends all locks, bars all keys, offers all a meal?